July the 1st.
Rubbish. Rubbish, Barbara. What you say is sheer rubbish. Stay here, rather, and put such thoughts out of your head. None of what you suppose is true. I can see for myself that it is not. Whatsoever you lack here, you have but to ask me for it. Here you love and are loved, and we might easily be happy and contented together. What could you want more? What have you to do with strangers? You cannot possibly know what strangers are like. I know it, though, and could have told you if you had asked me. There is a stranger whom I know, and whose bread I have eaten. He is a cruel man, Barbara. A man so bad that he would be unworthy of your little heart, and would soon tear it to pieces, with his railings and reproaches and black looks. On the other hand, you are safe and well here. You are as safe as though you were sheltered in a nest. Besides, you would, as it were, leave me with my head gone. For what should I have to do when you were gone? What could I, an old man, find to do? Are you not necessary to me? Are you not useful to me? Eh? Surely you do not think that you are not useful. You are of great use to me, Barbara, for you exercise a beneficial influence upon my life. Even at this moment, as I think of you, I feel cheered, for always I can write letters to you, and put into them what I am feeling, and receive from you detailed answers. I have bought you a wardrobe, and also procured you a bonnet, so you see that you have only to give me a commission for it to be executed. No. In what way are you not useful? What should I do if I were deserted in my old age? What would become of me? Perhaps you never thought of that, Barbara. Perhaps you never said to yourself, how could he get on without me? You see, I have grown so accustomed to you. What else would it end in if you were to go away? Why, in my hiking to the Neighbours Bank and doing away with myself. Ah, Barbara, darling, I can see that you want me to be taken away to the Volkovo Cemetery in a broken-down old hearse, with some poor outcast of the streets to accompany my coffin as chief mourner, and the grave-diggers to heap my body with clay, and depart, and leave me there. How wrong of you! How wrong of you, my beloved! Yes, by heavens, how wrong of you! I am returning you your book, little friend, and if you were to ask of me my opinion of it, I should say that never before in my life had I read a book so splendid. I keep wondering how I have hitherto contrived to remain such an owl, for what have I ever done? From what wilds did I spring into existence? I know nothing. I know simply nothing. My ignorance is complete. Frankly, I am not an educated man, for until now I have read scarcely a single book, only A Portrait of Man, a clever enough work in its way, The Boy Who Could Play Many Tunes Upon Bells, and Ivic's Storks. That is all. But now I have also read The Station Overseer in your little volume, and it is wonderful to think that one may live and yet be ignorant of the fact that under one's very nose there may be a book in which one's whole life is described as in a picture. Never should I have guessed that as soon as ever one begins to read such a book, it sets one on both to remember and to consider and to foretell events. Another reason why I liked this book so much is that, though in the case of other works, however clever they be, one may read them, yet remember not a word of them, for I am a man naturally dull of comprehension, and unable to read works of any great importance, although, as I say, one may read such works, one reads such a book as yours as easily as though it had been written by oneself, and had taken possession of one's heart and turned it inside out for inspection, and were describing it in detail as a matter of perfect simplicity. Why, I might almost have written the book myself. Why not, indeed? I can feel, just as the people in the book do, and find myself in positions precisely similar to those of, say, the character Samson Virin. In fact, how many good-hearted wretches like Virin are there not walking about amongst us? How easily, too, it is all described. I assure you, my darling, that I almost shed tears when I read that Virin so took to drink as to lose his memory, become morose, and spend whole days over his liquor. As also that he choked with grief and wept bitterly when, rubbing his eyes with his dirty hand, he bethought him of his wandering lamb, his daughter Dunasha. How natural! How natural! You should read the book for yourself. The thing is actually alive. Even I can see that. Even I can realize that it is a picture cut from the very life around me. In it I see our own Teresa, to go no further, and the poor Chinovnik, who is just such a man as this Samson Virin, except for his surname of Gorshkov. The book describes just what might happen to ourselves, to myself in particular. Even a count who lives in the Nevsky Prospect or in Naborezhnaya Street might have a similar experience, though he might appear to be different, owing to the fact that his life is cast on a higher plane. Yes, just the same things might happen to him, just the same things. Here you are, wishing to go away and leave us, yet be careful, lest it would not be I who had to pay the penalty of your doing so. For you might ruin both yourself and me. Oh, for the love of God, put away these thoughts from you, my darling, and do not torture me in vain. How could you, my poor little unfledged nestling, find yourself food, and defend yourself from misfortune, and ward off the wiles of evil men? Think better of it, Barbara, and pay no more heed to foolish advice and calumny, but read your book again, and read it with attention. It may do you much good. I have spoken of Ratajeev's The Station Overseer. However, the author has told me that the work is old-fashioned, since nowadays books are issued with illustrations and embellishments of different sorts, though I could not make out all that he said. Pushkin he adjudges a splendid poet, and one who has done honour to Holy Russia. Read your book again, Barbara, and follow my advice, and make an old man happy. The Lord God himself will reward you. Yes, he will surely reward you. Your faithful friend, Makar Dievushkin.
My dearest Makar Alexievich, today Theodora came to me with 15 rubles in silver. How glad was the poor woman when I gave her 3 of them. I am writing to you in great haste, for I am busy cutting out a waistcoat to send to you, buff, with a pattern of flowers. Also, I am sending you a book of stories, some of which I have read myself, particularly one called The Cloak. You invite me to go to the theatre with you, but will it not cost too much? Of course we might sit in the gallery. Oh, it is a long time, indeed I cannot remember when I last did so, since I visited a theatre. Yet I cannot help fearing that such an amusement is beyond our means. Sidora keeps nodding her head and saying that you have taken to living above your income. I myself divine the same thing by the amount which you have spent upon me. Take care, dear friend, that misfortune does not come of it, for Theodora has also informed me of certain rumours concerning your inability to meet your landlady's bills. In fact, I am very anxious about you. Now goodbye, for I must hasten away to see about another matter, about the changing of the ribbons on my bonnet. P.S. Do you know, if we go to the theatre, I think that I shall wear my new hat and black mantilla. Will that not look nice?